Good morning, this is Mark Steiner. What you're about to hear is a segment from the Mark Steiner Show archives. Send your thoughts about this show to talk@steinershow.org or tweet me at Mark Steiner. Enjoy.
There's a film we watched last evening called The Least of These. It's a documentary made by Clark Lyda and Jesse Lyda. Did I say the name correctly?
Yes, you did.
Good, I'm making sure. And Marcy Garriott, is that right too?
Yeah, Marcy Garriott.
Garriott, gotcha. I wasn't sure if it was the French or not. Marcy Garriott. And thank you all three for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
So this film, I tell you, last night we got home late and I had the film the Film Festival gave us to review. And I watched it with my 11-year-old, almost 12, she'll be 12 in just about less than a month. Mm-hmm. And she wouldn't go to bed. She was just stuck on this movie because she was watching people her age being imprisoned with their families. And she was just stunned by what she saw. So talk a bit, whoever wants to go first, say Clark or Jesse, about this film and the and how you got into this film and what the premise is.
Well, we made the film for two reasons. One, because there are a lot of people in this country who aren't aware that our government began detaining immigrant children a couple of years ago, actually in May of 2006, which there are people who think that's a good program and people who think it's a bad program, but most people just aren't aware that it's happening and ongoing. And we also made the film to demonstrate the power of community activism. This is a case where, you know, activists were able to accomplish real change through diligent effort, and it's still an imperfect situation and about to get less perfect in August of this year, but they made a difference.
I think what really struck me was, I mean, we know that Marcy Garriott, that we know that immigrants who come into this country who are undocumented are often arrested and sent back to the countries that they come from. But this was a story about immigrants who came with children, many of them who came here not just from Latin America but from Europe and from the Middle East and from Iraq, Iran, who are here with their children because they were fleeing something, fleeing oppression of some kind or danger, and they're in this, where they were found in this, themselves in this prison in Texas.
But yes, absolutely. Depending on what point in time, between 50% and 80% of the people in this facility are actually there seeking asylum. So they are legally in the United States following our legal procedures for seeking asylum because they have experienced some kind of insurmountable difficulty in their home country. And that's what's partly what's really troubling about this is that when they arrive at our borders, they're put into detention with their children under circumstances that many people consider still unacceptable.
And Jesse, how do you make a film like this? Let's talk about what goes into the making of a documentary like this.
Well, seeing that we're first-time filmmakers, you make sure you hire everyone who knows what they're doing. But you know, we had a lot of passion behind it. And originally, this was supposed to be a 15-minute short because mm-hmm. that's how it was presented to us. It was like a topic that was very timely. But we just kept filming, and 2 years later, and 62 minutes later, here we are with this film. It was a wonderful thing for us. It really was, and we've had really good reception so far.
So, Clark, let's talk a bit about, I mean, what motivates people to do films like this. Did you and Jesse study film before this, or you just jumped into this?
No, Jesse was an actor, and I'm a reformed recovered lawyer.
That's a long, hard road.
It certainly is. I'm still struggling to stay on the straight and narrow. But, you know, it was going to be an exercise for us. It was Marcy actually talked us into doing this. She's made several other documentaries very successfully, but she knew we were interested in film. And so she said, she was busy, and she said, why don't you take this topic on and make a short? And we naively agreed, and as Jesse just said, it turned into a 2-year process. But it sucked us in very quickly. One of the first things we did was interview these families. And as I was sitting across the room from these young children who had been detained for indeterminate periods of time, you know, a month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months in a former medium security prison under really horrible conditions at that time, I became passionate about the topic.
Yeah, it was pretty infuriating, I would say, actually, seeing these children and some of them looking very, very subdued, very broken. And, you know, it's just not right, just in my opinion.
That was one of the shocking things about this film, was watching the children in this film. We're talking with Clark Lyda and Jesse Lyda, director and producers of the documentary called Least of These. Marcy Garriott is with us. She's producer of The Least of These. You can join us here at 410-319-8888 or write to us at steinershow@gmail.com. The film takes place in 2006. It's about the United States opening the T. Don Hutto Residential Center, a family detention center that housed immigrants and their children. But it was a private corporation that ran this for the federal government. They knew nothing, as you see in this film, about what it meant to put families in a facility like this. And it also follows the story of the immigration attorneys at the University of Texas and ACLU attorneys who fought this and actually changed what happened. It was it's a film about a fight for social justice that actually won and forced changes. And so, Marcy, so you seem to be the filmmaker of the lot here.
Oh, right. Well, it's my third film as opposed to my first film, but I think we all learn from each other.
So to talk about it, I mean, so they said that you brought this film to them, this idea.
Yeah, I'm actually good friends with Barbara Hines, who was the lead or one of the lead attorneys on the lawsuit that was filed against the facility.
She's in the film for the University of Texas.
Yes, she's in the film, University right. of Texas, and she, together with Benita Gupta from the ACLU, filed a lawsuit in 2007, and Barbara was keeping me apprised of the whole situation pretty much from the beginning. As soon as she started getting these calls from very distressed clients in the facility saying, we're here with our children. These calls were a great surprise to Barbara because ICE had not announced that this facility would be open, so no one knew. She only found out when detainees called her clinic asking for pro bono legal support. And she had been letting me know about this, and so very early on, I did think it would make a really powerful film and that it was a very important story, but I was unable to take on the whole project by myself. And fortunately, Clark and Jesse were looking for a topic and were really the perfect directors, perfect filmmakers to take this on.
And when you approach a film like this, do you approach a film like this as social activists? Do you approach it as, quote-unquote, that they like to use in the media, objective filmmakers trying to probe a subject? I mean, how do you approach a film like this?
That's a great question, and it's totally fundamental to the decision-making process on how to make a film. And Clark and Jesse, from the start on this film, said, we're only interested if we can make this a balanced film. We don't want to preach to the choir. We don't want to lecture the audience on what the right answer or the wrong answer is. We want to let everybody and all sides speak for themselves. And so that was an explicit objective of them, which I totally agree with because it makes for a much more powerful film in the end. The ironic part was it was difficult to make a balanced film in the sense that ICE refused to be interviewed. They refused to participate in the project.
ICE being
the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Organization under the Department of Homeland Security. They did not want to participate, and so we could only tell their side of the story from public news sources or press conferences, which we did. We did our best to do that, but it was frustrating that they were fairly closed on their side about the story, and therefore made our objective more difficult to meet.
Clark, Jesse, do you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think Marcy hit it on the head. We wanted to make a film that people who either hadn't made up their mind about this topic or perhaps were soft on either side could watch and perhaps change their mind. We're not trying to persuade the very hard riders who think that it's a perfectly fine thing to do, and we obviously don't need to persuade the people who are already convinced. So in ICE, the people who run the facility made it very difficult for us because all we could do was rely on public record, and and the public record, unfortunately, is not all that persuasive on the issue. But we think in the end that the film is a very fair presentation of the arguments for and against family detention.
Yeah, I would also add to that, I think because of ISIS resistance to us, I think it's very important for these entities to have real transparency in what they're doing so that we know. I mean, it's really hard to self-regulate.
And following up on that, this facility opened in May of 2006, and the press was not allowed in the facility until 9 months later. For the very first time, and ICE, because of that lack of transparency and lack of oversight, had some really sort of egregious practices that were going on, and this film is a very good reminder of the need for transparency and oversight of government functions like this.
When you interviewed the families, I mean, one of the most moving parts to me was watching the women, especially who you interviewed, and the children that were interviewed. About their lives, whether it was the young Iranian boy who was a Canadian citizen whose parents were not given asylum in Canada. They ended up going back to Iran and being tortured. And his plea to be sent back to, he and his family to be sent back to Canada, or the women in prison who had been fleeing domestic abuse in Honduras or other countries that they came from. And the children sitting on those couches with this almost expressionless stillness about them that was just haunting to me.
Yeah, it was striking, and Barbara Hines makes the point in the film that I think is very accurate, that kids have a very different sense of time from adults. And these kids, some of them were in the facility for as long as 8 or 9 months, and the parents had no idea how long they were going to be in there. And that period of time in a facility where they were, at that point in time, they were staying in 8x10 cells 12 hours out of the day. They had to stay in the cell, and they were wearing prison uniforms, and they weren't going outside, and they were getting an hour of education a day. Makes for a very striking story.
Yeah, and absolutely. And plus, I would say that because of the way this particular family detention center was structured, it really undermined the role of a parent. And I think because of that, the kids were really resentful and mad at their parents.
And we want to thank Clark Leiter, Jesse Leiter, and Marcy Garriott for joining us and for making this film. It's been a pleasure to talk to the three of you. Are you coming to Baltimore, by the way?
Yes, absolutely. We are. Looking forward to it.
Look forward to meeting you, and look forward to seeing you when the film is shown. Thank you so much
for making this film.
The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Stephanie Mavronis and Mark Gunry. Our engineer is Andrea Melton. Our interns are Sienna Greaves, Manifa Wilson, and Calvin Perry. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. Send me your thoughts about today's show to talk@steinershow.org. And to podcast The Mark Steiner Show, share it with your friends, visit us on the web at steinershow.org, or listen to us via your favorite podcasting app. And for your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.